We know hunting season's over, as far as at least some animals, but for the most part, hunting season's over, but fishing season's just around the corner. There are two things that all fishermen need to know when they go fishing. So be taking notes here, Bruce. All fish have similar characteristics about them. All fish have different characteristics about them. Understanding those two things can help a fisherman be more successful when they go fishing. When Jesus told his disciples, "Follow me, I will." Oh, you guys have heard that verse before. The disciples were going to need to learn that all people have similar characteristics about them, and all people have different characteristics about them. Understanding those two things can help a Christian be more effective when they go fishing for men. All fish have similar characteristics about them in the sense that all fish live in water. All fish like to eat. All fish swim for their means of transportation. And no fish desires to live outside of their natural habitat. Those are just some of the characteristics that God gave all fish when He created them. But in the same way, God gave all human beings some similar characteristics when He created us. And we've talked about a few of these on Wednesday night here a few weeks back. So it'll be some repetitiveness for them. One of the characteristics that God has placed in every person is the characteristic of eternity. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, God has set, meaning He has put in place, eternity into the hearts of men. God has set eternity in the hearts of men. Because we are made in the image of God, all of us have an instinctive interest in eternal things. Every person throughout all of history, from every nation, from every tribe, from every culture, from every language, has built within them a God awareness, a God-given awareness of eternity. Every person throughout the history of the world has at some point wondered, is there something after death? Everyone throughout the history of the world has pondered the thought, what happens to me after I die? Because it is built within us that there is more to come after we die. Just about every religion in the world has some kind of belief that there is more after we die. Now, as you know, there are a few people that have come to believe over time that when they die, that's it. But they was never born believing that because it is put into their heart the things of eternity. Those that have come to believe that there's nothing more after we die, that's just something they have been able to teach themselves over time. Romans 1:18 tells us that there are those who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. In other words, there will be folks who will take the truth of God's Word, the things that God has implanted in them when He created them, and they will stuff those things in a box so that their conscience will become ineffective. And so when it comes to fishing for men, when it comes to sharing the gospel, it is helpful to remember that whoever it is that we share the good news with, they already have within them a desire to want to know what lies ahead for them. The raw material's already there. All we have to do is just come along and build on it. We don't have to go out. We don't have to try to convince people that they have an eternity ahead of them because they already believe it. But we do need to explain to them what eternity has in store for them and what they can do about it. Secondly, every person ever born has God's law written in their heart. Romans 2:15 tells us that the law of God is written on the hearts of men. That's also seen three different times in the book of Psalms. So the law of God is a reference to God's moral laws. It's a reference to the Ten Commandments. The law here is a reference to what God says is right and what God says is wrong. The word written in the Greek here literally means it's been engraved, it's been etched upon man's heart. And so what that tells me is this. Every person throughout all of history, from every nation, from every tribe, from every culture, from every language, has built within them God's moral laws. No matter where you go in this world, people know lying is wrong. No matter where you go in this world, people know stealing is wrong. No matter where you go in this world, people know murder is wrong. There was not some kind of a United Nations ethical committee got together, sit down and kind of describe whether or not it was wrong to lie. No ethical committee got together and decided murder was wrong or adultery was wrong. God's morals were already programmed into our hearts as a human race. Thirdly, conscience. Every person throughout all of history, from every nation, from every tribe, from every culture, from every language, comes with a conscience. Romans 2:15 again. The law of God is written on the hearts of men, their conscience bearing witness and their thoughts accusing them. Excuse me. And so when God put His moral laws into our hearts, He also included a conscience that is designed to alert us when we're tempted to violate His moral laws. If you think back to Adam and Eve, which we've talked about quite a bit on Wednesdays lately, what happened to them the very moment they ate the forbidden fruit? They felt shame. They felt guilt. As a result of their shame and guilt, they covered themselves with fig leaves and they hid themselves from God. I don't know if you ever think about this, but no one ever told them that if they decided to sin, they should feel shame and guilt. And so how did they know to do what they'd done? Cover themselves with fig leaves, hide from God. They knew how to do. They knew what to do because they had an internal built conscience. God had gave them a conscience. The same conscience that was given to Adam and Eve is the same conscience that's given to you and me today. It's the same conscience that'll be within the hearts of anyone you go fishing for. I mean, if you think of a little kid, a little child whose mom has told him, said, you are not allowed to have a cookie before dinner. He waits till no one's around. He grabs the cookie or cookies, and he runs off and hides somewhere to eat them. No one ever told that child that if they wanted to steal a cookie, they needed to go hide somewhere so they wouldn't get caught. You don't have to train a child to do that. Their God-given conscience just automatically goes off, and they instantly know they need to hide or they'll get caught. Have you ever asked yourself why it has become such a massive legal issue to post the Ten Commandments in public? It is not because of freedom of religion. It's not because the Ten Commandments is a religious issue like they claim. It is because the Ten Commandments is a moral issue. It is a conscious issue. The people that are outraged over the public posting of the Ten Commandments don't want them posted in public because their conscience reminds them of their guilt. And so everyone, everywhere, throughout all of history, every nation, every tribe, every language has a natural God-given instinct of what is right and wrong. Everyone, everywhere, throughout history has a conscience that God gave them that automatically alerts them when they are about to violate the law of God that is etched in their heart. Now, granted, there are a few people whose conscience doesn't seem to work right. They seem to be okay with lying. They seem to think stealing's okay. They're okay with committing adultery. But that is because their conscience has been seared according to 1 Timothy 4:2. They have over time quit paying attention to their conscience. And so their conscience becomes unresponsive. But they weren't born that way. It's something that happened over time. When a person begins to justify their sin, they begin to blur the alertness of their conscience. And over time, their conscience begins to fade away. And so when it comes to fishing for men, when it comes to sharing the gospel with people, it's helpful to remember that whoever you're sharing the good news with, they already know they're a sinner. And so the raw material, it's already there because God put it in them. All we have to do is just kind of come along and build upon that. Share the moral law of God with them that is already etched in their hearts. When witnessing, it helps kind of draw attention to their conscience. Excuse me. We need to point out that they are indeed guilty, not in a forceful, mean way, but it needs to be pointed out that they are guilty before a holy and righteous God that will one day judge them for their sin, but at the same time, offer them a way that allows them to escape the penalty of their sin by placing their faith in God's Son. Fourthly, every person throughout all of history, from every nation, from every tribe, from every culture, from every language, has built within them a desire to be loved by other people and a desire to love other people. Two times in the book of 1 John, we're told God is love. Love is not just something God does. Love is something God is. And as you know, Scripture also says that we are all made in the image and likeness of God. And so if part of God's image and likeness is love, then love is included in our internal makeup. Since Adam and Eve, 6,000 years ago, every human being that has ever lived has built within them a desire to be loved and give love. Now, obviously, we all know somebody that is downright mean. They're just stinking hateful and sometimes even violent. But they wasn't born that way. That just happens to be the result of living in a fallen world where love is contaminated, distorted, and redefined. And so when it comes to sharing the gospel with someone, it is helpful to remember that the person you're witnessing to needs to see the love of Christ within you as you share with them the story of God's love for them. See, what happens many times when it comes to talking to someone about God? We can have a tendency to get focused on their current life, their current circumstances. We get focused on their bad attitude. We get focused on how they dislike Christianity, how they don't like church. We get focused on their drunkenness, their addictions, their lifestyle, whatever it is. And we end up not sharing Jesus with them. But if we remember that in that person that we desire to share the gospel with, that they have the exact same raw material in them that we have in us, it can begin to ease our fears and be more open to share with them. We as humans are sort of like computers, I guess. You go buy a new computer, it's already got some various apps or software packages pre-programmed within them. The better you understand those pre-programmed apps or software programs, the better you are at using your computer. In the same way, when we come into this world, we already have been pre-programmed with certain characteristics. And the more we understand how people are pre-programmed by God, the better we will be at sharing with them the gospel of God. As you guys can tell, I'm probably getting a head cold. I don't know. I want to change directions for a minute, though. I said a few moments ago that fish have similar characteristics, but at the same time, they have different characteristics. Some fish like warm water. Some fish like cold water. Some fish like fresh water. Some like salt water. Some like calm water. Some like flowing streams of water. Some prefer to live in shallow water, some likes deep water. Some fish have teeth, some do not. Some like yellow and green eggs. Oh, thank you. Leave it to a doctor, huh? I went to Andy one time, really feeling bad, and he handed me a cup of water. I was like, thank you, sir. Some fish are more active in the morning hours. Some are more active in the evening hours. Some fish prefer living around tree stumps and lily pads. Others like sandy and rocky atmosphere. Understanding the various characteristics of fish will allow you to know what type of fishing equipment to use. It'll allow you to know which time of the day or which time of the year to fish, whether you'll find that particular fish in a lake or a stream. It'll determine what kind of baits you use. And as you adjust your fishing methods to accommodate the various characteristics of the fish you are trying to catch, you will be more successful in catching fish. Well, that same principle is true when we go fishing for men. God pre-programmed all of us with some specific characteristics that are the same in everyone. But from there, God also allows us to be individuals. We're all different in our personalities. We all have different likes and dislikes. We differ in the things we like to do, the places we like to go, the types of food we like to eat, the things we like to be entertained by, the kind of people we like to hang around. There are more differences within us than there are similarities. And it helps to get a basic understanding of how people are different when it comes to sharing the gospel with them. Turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. When you get there, say, Lord, use me to catch people for your kingdom. Come on, Terry Wiseman. You need to get there in NASCAR speed, Terry. Just got to harass Terry. I don't think he could go home and be happy if I didn't pick on him. Chapter 9. We're going to be in chapter 9. All right, we're going to look at verse 19 and 20 at first. 19, for though I am free from all, this is the Apostle Paul writing to the Corinthian church, for though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all that I might win as many as possible. To the Jews I become like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, that's a reference to the Jews, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. Folks, the Apostle Paul, like us, was free from having to live under the restraints of the Mosaic law. But for the Jews, on the other hand, obeying the Mosaic law was a way of life for them because they believed that by obeying the Mosaic law, they could in turn obtain salvation. Everything they did, when they did it, how they did it, where they did it, was all determined by what the Mosaic law said about it. Their customs, their culture, their eating habits, their holidays, their festivities were all determined by the Mosaic law. And so what Paul is saying here in verses 19 and 20 is this. As a Christian, I may not be held to the restraints and the practices of the Mosaic law, but I am willing to lay aside my freedom from the law and participate in their way of life for the sake of leading Jews to Jesus. That's what he's saying. And so when Paul was in the presence of the Jewish people, he would obey their dietary laws. He would participate in their festivities. He would take part in their purification ceremonies. As a matter of fact, if you're familiar with the story, one time when Paul and Timothy were ministry partners, They were going to be going out and ministering and sharing the gospel to Jewish people. They went as far as having Timothy circumcised just for the sake of leading Jewish people to Jesus Christ. Verse 21. To those not having the law, that's a reference to the Gentiles because they're not stuck living under the Mosaic law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law. Though I am free, I am not free from God's law, but under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. When Paul was in the presence of Gentiles, he would adapt himself to do things they would do in hopes that it would open the doors for him to lead Gentiles to Christ. Verse 22 and 23. To the weak I became weak, so that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. In a nutshell, here's what Paul's saying. He's saying, when I'm around people, I try to become as much like them in the things they do so that I might lead that person to salvation. But here's the catch. Paul would adapt to the habits and the behaviors of others for the sake of leading them to Christ. But he never allowed the alterations he made to violate God's morals or expectations. He never changed his behavior to such a degree that it became sin. Paul learned all that from Jesus. Jesus adapted to the culture. He would adapt to the circumstances that was going on around him for the sake of sharing the gospel with different people. Remember the story of Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well. When the disciples returned from town, if you remember, they'd went in town to get food. When they came back outside of town to the well, they were very surprised to see Jesus talking with a Samaritan woman and drinking water that she had gave him. To them, that was an absolute no-no. It was completely against Jewish customs. But to Jesus, it was something he needed to do in order to open the opportunity to share the gospel with her. How's all this relate to us today? When God lays that one person on your heart to share the gospel with, it can be beneficial for you. It can be beneficial for me to know what that person likes to do. What's their hobbies? What kind of work do they do? Learn a little bit about those things and even join in with them while they're doing them and use it as a bridge to share the gospel. Find out where they like to eat. Take them out to eat. While you're there, share with them how God has laid them on your heart to share the gospel with them. A couple of things I've done down through the years is I would not always interested in all the categories of news. I'm not interested in all the sports stuff, but I would still keep up on current issues. I'd still read the paper and get sports scores and things of that nature, whether I cared or not, because it would help me be able to join into conversations with people at work, which could then lead me to talk to them about Jesus. I spent years going out into parks and playing ball so that I could get a chance to share the gospel with guys that I would not meet any other way. I remember a guy by the name of Mike out in California. He worked at a gas station around the corner from where we lived. Every time I needed gas, every time I wanted something to drink or a snack, I would go to the station Mike worked at. And through that, I found out Mike liked to fish. And so I would go fishing with Mike, all for the sake of getting to tell Mike about Jesus. I remember hearing a pastor years ago talking about he took up the hobby of racing yachts. And he knew he would need a team for the sport of racing yachts, and so he needed a team of 7 men. And he began to ask God, give me 7 men that are lost. Over time, he led all 7 of those men to the Lord. He found common ground. I want to begin to wrap this up by dealing with one more characteristic that God has put into every human being since the day He created Adam and Eve. Here it is. Every person throughout all of history, from every nation, every tribe, every language, every culture, has built within them the ability to make decisions. God created all of us to be decision makers. And I want to deal with that from two different angles. First one is, as Christians, we are called to be decision makers. James 1:22 tells us to be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Now, we all know what the word says about sharing the gospel. And so we need to make a decision as to whether or not we're only going to hear what it says or do what it says. Sadly, too many Christians, and I've been known to be this way myself, are like the sluggard that's mentioned in Proverbs 22:13, where it says, the sluggard says, there is a lion outside. I shall be killed in the streets. What he is saying is that a lazy person will make up extremely ridiculous excuses for getting out of work. And we as Christians can make up some extremely ridiculous excuses for getting out of being a doer of the word. And the irony to that is, James says that when we are hearers only instead of doers, we're deceiving ourselves. Let me read a couple verses for you from a story we looked at a few weeks ago. It was in the Gospel of Luke. I'm sure it'll sound familiar to you. It was in Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, verse 4. Jesus said to Peter, launch out into the deep and let your nets down for a catch. It goes on, it says, but Peter answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish and their net was breaking. Here's the deal. Jesus gave Peter and his boys some specific instructions to follow if they wanted to catch fish. And at that point, Peter had to make a decision. Will I obey him or will I not? Obviously, Peter decided to obey him and ended up being tremendously blessed. But think about how this story would have ended if Peter would have made up some silly excuses to not do as Jesus had asked him to do. He would have just went on through life as usual, doing his own thing, while having zero idea of what he missed out on. Unbelievers have also been created to be decision makers. A fisherman's primary goal was to catch fish, obviously. But in order to catch fish, they first have to try to get the fish to make a decision to bite the bait. Well, as fishers of men, we have a God-given responsibility to call people to make a decision about what are they going to do with the gospel we give them. And so our job is to present the gospel to them and then ask them to make a decision about what they are going to do with it. Let me ask you, we've been on this since the 1st of January. How many of you have that one person on your heart that you've got through seeking the Lord? And I praise you for that. I really do. I'm going to be honest, I think God's kind of laid our street on my heart, which isn't very many people. Well, I think there's only like six houses on our road, but if we're not seeking the Lord, we'll never know who that one person is. But after he lays him on your heart, You got to continue to pray to get that door open. But in the meantime, just if it helps, think a strategy up in your heart. How you're going to approach them, think it up. The enemy's going to want to put in your mind they're going to reject you and come against you. Don't worry about that. We do like Jesus said. He's going to bless it. He may not give us a net full of fish. It's going to tear. But he blesses obedience every time. The other thing is, if you're like me, you can go fishing all day long and sometimes never catch a thing. Don't let that discourage you. Don't let that discourage you. Just keep fishing. Every now and then you'll catch one. Even Vic's been known to catch a fish. Father, we just come before you this morning and again, thank you for being the Lord that you are. Everyone in this room, Lord, I know claims you as Lord and God of our lives. But I know we fall way short of obedience. We should want to do everything you say. But we all fell, starting right here. Lord, I ask you to burn in our hearts a passion for at least one person, if not more. Your plan A for reaching the world is through your people. You don't even have a plan B. Your plan A includes us, and we should see it as an absolute honor and a privilege. And so, Lord, I just ask you to set our hearts right where they need to be. Lay that person on our heart. Open up that door. Give us the courage, the wisdom, the faith, the passion. And may we just simply obey. In Christ's name, amen.